Rolene Marks, a very good morning. How are you?
I don't know. Howard, Zanati, we need to have a conversation because I'm under my desk traumatized because the Big Purple narcotic was singing again. We really have to have a conversation about this Barney business.
Well, apparently Kate disagrees with me. They think it was a very, very irresponsible move, telling my children that Barney was dead. but she says, I've robbed them of their dreams. Listen, I didn't say it was
suicide. How dare you?
I didn't say it was suicide.
Yeah,
I didn't say it. Anyway, doesn't matter. We all parent differently. And you know what? As I often say to my kids, put it in your book. You can write about that at another time when you talk about how difficult and what terrible parents you had. All right, talking about all sorts of things. Let's start off with the bazaar. What is going on with the merchandising of Holocaust material? What is it? Is it a right wing thing that's happening in the United States? Is it an ignorant thing? What is going on?
Well, the scary thing is I don't think it's just the United States, and I've been doing quite a bit of research on this, and the worrying thing is that experts reckon that this phenomenon is only going to grow. They say, you know, as these e-commerce sites, Amazon, Pixel, etc., become more and more automated, so there is no regulation of these kind of sales. But it's a hideous trend that seems to be gaining traction. If we just look at this week, we've seen Amazon, which is an e-commerce giant, absolutely taken to task for selling Auschwitz-themed Christmas decorations and bottle openers, because I don't know, maybe nothing says peace and goodwill to all mankind than a death camp on your Christmas tree. I don't know what it is. And then the outrage with pixels.com, and the weird thing is that once you start investigating, you just unearth more and more and more of this. Pixels.com is a site that kind of serves as an intermediary for artists, photographers who want to sell their art. And you could purchase this week, you could purchase anything from a Birkenau-themed yoga mat or towel or cell phone charger. I mean, it's beyond comprehension to what I think is probably the most offensive of all of this, which is a shower curtain.
No words.
There are no words. There are no words. And then earlier this year, you had a fashion company called Redbubble that was selling skirts, pencil skirts for women with images of Auschwitz and scatter cushions.
I don't even know how to respond to it. You know, it's so bizarre. Take the Rwandan genocide. Imagine celebrating this. I don't get it. I don't understand what it is, unless it's just very, very simply just the next form of anti-Semitism, which I assume it must be. Because an artist, there's no artist that can't have a sensitivity towards this, if you actually understand what it is. Can't be.
Well, one of the most offensive ones was a beach towel with an image. It's a very, very famous image of the last Jew from a village in the Ukraine. And he's crouched in a pit which is filled with bodies. And there's a Nazi holding the gun to his head. That's a beach towel. I mean, because nothing says let's beach like a mass grave. I don't know, what is the message here?
I actually want to read you this, because I received this yesterday actually from my mother-in-law, and I think it's so powerful and important, because it just shows, and for any of our listeners who don't have this level of knowledge, many of our listeners obviously aren't Jewish, and they don't really, I mean, obviously everybody knows about the Holocaust, but yesterday my mother-in-law sent us a photo. She sent the family possibility a photo of something called a Stoppelstein. And what this is, it's called, it basically means a tripping stone. And they were placed in Germany. You now place these little brass stones that are placed outside a home of people, of Jews, who were either taken away or removed or killed or murdered, whatever, during the Holocaust. And she sent a message to the family. These are the Stoppelsteins that were placed at, and she gives the address, in Kassel in Germany on the 9th of July 2019. So it was happened earlier this year. And this is what my mother-in-law writes. This is the last address that they lived at as a couple. These are her grandparents. As you can see, my grandfather died on the 5th of December 1938. So it was yesterday in 1938. He was arrested with some 10,000 other Jews and transported to Buchenwald. He was brutally beaten to death by a Nazi soldier, although his death certificate says he's died of a heart attack. His earthly remains were then cremated in Weimar, a town 7 minutes from the camp. They were boxed and posted to my grandmother. She was obliged to pay for the cremation, the box postage, and for all of this. At first, the Jewish community would not bury my grandfather in the Jewish cemetery because they don't allow Jewish burial for those who are cremated. As many more Jews were returned to their families this way. Now, don't forget, this is before it all started. This is in 1938. The Jewish community started to realize that this was not an isolated incident. So they opened the cemetery for all those whose bodies were returned this way. The 5th of December, yesterday, marked that day. And, you know, it's still alive. It is still something that we are dealing with all the time.
Well, this is the message. Our pain, our grief, our loss is not a commodity for you to sell on your website. Nothing will ever fill the holes. And this will be generational of those that we have lost. And I just want to touch on the Stoppelsteiner project because it's a phenomenal, phenomenal undertaking. It was started by somebody who's not Jewish as ways to keep memory alive. And if you go to quite a number of cities in Europe, Prague, Berlin, Paris, various cities, you will see these Stoppelsteiners. And the idea behind it is exactly as you say, you stumble over them. So you're almost forced to look down and to acknowledge. And, you know, one of the tenets that we hold very sacred to us is that unto every person there is a name. And thanks to this incredible, incredible endeavor, so many people their names are living on in memory because of these Stoppelsteiners.
Incredible. Really, really incredible. So just to round up the subject on this Holocaust merchandising, are the companies selling them responsive? Does Amazon, when they get a complaint, do they remove them?
Well, Amazon did. Amazon got a complaint from the Auschwitz Memorial, who said that, you know, it's absolutely disrespectful and inappropriate. And they particularly honed in on the bottle opener. They said it's beyond disturbing. Pixels, well, after an absolute avalanche of complaints and letters and postings to their Facebook page, took it down. But apparently it's not the first time that they have put up these kind of images for sale. And, you know, I wonder if it's the alt-right, if it's the anti-Semite, or if we have, because of another phenomenon where a survey in America that was conducted recently found that two-thirds of millennials don't recognize the Auschwitz. They don't understand the Holocaust, that they haven't heard about it. So, you know, never before has education been more important. But I think it also it goes back to grassroots anti-Semitism, that we're nothing but a commodity for sale on a website.
Absolutely, absolutely appalling. All right. Also equally appalling is Sarah Netanyahu, the gift that keeps on giving. What happened now? She needs to stay home.
She needs Barney, clearly. Barney and some carbs. the Netanyahus are in Lisbon Netanyahu was there to meet with Secretary of State from the US, Mike Pompeo, and also very, very welcomely Portugal joined the IHRA, which is the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance, which, as you know, we're speaking about these horrendous new phenomena. This is so important that more and more countries join this alliance. And at a memorial for remembering Jews who perished and were tortured during the Inquisition, a reporter apparently asked her which Inquisition is worse, the medieval one or the one her family has been subjected to. Now, anyone with half a brain would have said, you know, you can't compare the two. But not Sara Netanyahu, Howard. Not Sara Netanyahu. She said, you know, there's something there. She said that this is an inquisition for her, what's going on, the charges. I don't know. As far as I know, guys.
Incredibly stupid thing to say.
As far as, well, she's offended the Sephardi community, many of whom descend from people who had to flee Spain and Portugal because of the Inquisition. And I don't know, okay, you know, Israel, we don't always get things right, but we certainly don't put people on racks, Howard. We certainly don't clap them in the stocks and burn them alive and put them on racks if they're under investigation. And as equally as offensive is Netanyahu himself leaning on the memorial and checking out his phone.
They seem to be so caught up in their own survival and their own world that they aren't particularly interested in anything that goes on outside of it.
Well, in his defense, Prime Minister Netanyahu did try and shut her up. I think he knows that right now his biggest liabilities are his wife and his son and any microphone or laptop that comes in their general direction. But
he should just shut down the internet at the Prime Ministerial residence. No more internet for anybody.
Yeah. And I'm taking away your Wi-Fi.
Absolutely.
But this is extremely painful for people who are the descendants. We heard from Ashley Perry, who is the president of Reconnector, which is an organization that helps people trace their roots, who are the descendants of Spanish and Portuguese Jews. And he said that these comments from Sara Netanyahu were absolutely deplorable and demonstrate a contempt for Jewish suffering.
Absolutely unbelievable. Really, really incredible, and not doing themselves any favors. Before I let you go, please tell us about judoka in Israel.
Well, I love the story. I mean, I think we've all been following the story of Saeed Molai, who's the Iranian, well, he was the Iranian judoka who was forced to throw a match against Israel's champion Sagi Muki because under instruction and also under intimidation from the Iranians. And he fled Iran and he fled to Berlin. He has now been granted Mongolian citizenship. And what's been really, really moving has been watching the friendship between him and Sagi Muki kind of develop online. You know, he referred to Sagi as his best friend. There's the very, very famous image of Sagi Muki reaching out after winning I don't know what they call them in wrestling. Do you call it a bout? Do you call it a match?
No, we need Gimple the Fool. He's our expert on this. So he's going to have to
answer. Please tell me. You know I'm dodgy at sports.
and it's really the blind leading the blind here.
Exactly. There's that famous image of Sagi holding out his hand, which was to shake hands, and he was ignored. But it's extremely, extremely special because he'll be arriving in Israel next month to compete at the Tel Aviv Grand Prix. And I think we're all waiting to see these two great competitors meet each other, you know, under different circumstances. And I think we're just really, really proud to see that he's managed to transcend it, that the message out there is that sports is about building bridges and healthy competition and not about politics and it's lovely to see that Sagi Mukhi was one of the first to congratulate him, and he responded by saying, "Good luck to you all the time, my best friend. This is true friendship and a win for sports and judo over politics."
Absolutely love that story. Rolene Marks, this is where we love and leave you, unfortunately. I'm away next week and only back in January, early January. So this will be our last chat on air until early January. Hope you have a fantastic December and Chanukah Sameach. And we'll speak in early 2020.
Chanukah Sameach. I already have separation anxiety.
Likewise. Rolene Marks, have a great one and a Shabbat Shalom. It's just gone 8 o'clock. Jackie says, we went to see the small village my grandparents came from in Germany earlier this year. The individual villagers needed to give permission for us to put the brass plaques on that you were discussing, but it was not given. I'm really sorry about that, Jackie. And it's very sad indeed. Linda says, good morning, Mayhem team. Yes, RIP, rest in peace, boring Barney. I need to work on my weaknesses, procrastination, cluttering, some unkindly call it hoarding. We'll listen and potter more constructively. Howard, I wish you a holiday filled with love, peace, and much laughter. Thank you for happy mornings indeed, Linda. And thank you for your participation. Absolutely love your messages.